The following podcast is a glimpse into the life of Ecclesia Houston. We pray it is a blessing as you seek to follow Jesus, the liberating King, and live in his kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven.
Ecclesia, this is Pastor Chris, and as you likely know, if you've been around, we're in a series in Acts, and it's been beautiful. It's really an important series as to who we are as a church, and the things that I get to share with you this week are near and dear to my heart. I told you at the beginning of this series that I love this book, in part because Ecclesia was born in my mind, in my imagination, as a really, really young man, when I would come to my dad and say, the church that we're a part of, this is really messed up, and they're using fear to manipulate people, and what about this, and why don't we do better to care for people when they're hurting or they're poor? It doesn't feel like we're making a difference in the world, all those things. And my dad would simply say, like, you griping about our church doesn't really help, but why don't you read the book of Acts? Try to figure out what you think the church ought to look like and go make it that. At Ecclesia today, my job, and it's a great job, by the way, is to take you to all three of our campuses, to tell you the stories and the things that happen at our church, and to see how that aligns with the church that I envisioned when I was young. And this is what I want to tell you just to start. That dream church in my mind, and I saw quickly, the church in Acts was diverse. It was really generous. It cared for the needy. It wanted to be a part of people's healing and their journey and their progress. And people were open and honest and real, and amazing things were happening. All of that. I got to tell you, Ecclesia, the church I imagine in my dreams, you're my dream church. It's better than what I imagined. And today I want to tell you some of the stories that let you know why Ecclesia Houston is the church I dreamed. It's better than the church I dreamed could be a possibility. And from the very beginning, we had this really simple logo. Ecclesia, by the way, is the simplest of names. It's the Greek word for church. I just hoped we could be the church. And our dear friend Tim Bassanio had shot a photo that I just loved, and it was of an open hand. And from the moment I saw it, I said, that's who we are. And today I want to invite you into that story. What does it look like to be a people that live with an open hand? There are a lot of people that live with a clenched fist. One of the things we've also done from the beginning is we've spent a lot of time at baseball games. There are a bunch of reasons. One, I'm an Astros fan, and you ought to be too. I get it. Some of you moved from Dallas, and I'm sorry. You're a Rangers fan, and we're going to find a way to get along, and you're going to give us a hard time right now because we're at the bottom of the division. But this is the thing. I love baseball because it's a place where people connect, where people spend time with each other, and we get to hear stories. And our church has been shaped through the years by spending time with each other, breaking bread, and getting to know one another at places like a ballpark. The other thing I love about the ballpark is that things happen suddenly. Sometimes you don't know. Ever been somewhere and all of a sudden something happens and you learn something about someone? At a baseball game, when a foul ball comes your way, you learn a lot about who you are. Some of us hide ourselves and shield. We're not used to playing catch. We're not expecting it. Some people are on their phones now, which is dangerous at the ballpark. But in the aftermath of that ball headed your direction, the melee that happens to get that ball tells us a lot about who we are. In fact, it wasn't that long ago at Minute Maid Park that national headlines were hit. In fact, international. When a woman revealed maybe a little bit too much about who she was when a foul ball came her way.
Foul ball for her? Oh.
Whoa. Wait, what was that adult lady doing to that little gal?
She took the ball. Juan Miranda tried to give it to the little gal, and she took it from her.
She took it right from her.
And that was last
Friday.
That's
beyond wrong.
Oh, bless her heart.
Ecclesia, can you imagine in our own city, grown people, grown women, take baseballs from children? Right? Who are we? And yet, I would tell you, sometimes in a crisis, sometimes in an instant, we learn something about who we are and how we see the world. I'd propose to you there are two ways to live. You can live like this lady with a closed fist, trying to grab and take. Or maybe more like these two young men enjoying a baseball game together.
Let's check out the T-Mobile coverage cam. So this is why baseball is the greatest sport in the game. Melendez throws it to this fan, so pumped. But he's like, you know what? No, I got to give the baseball to a kid. But then later in the game, Gooby, when Walsh hits the home run, the kid's dad's going to come up with the baseball. He's like, here you go. Now you got your ball back. You got two. He's like, you know what? No.
This is incredible.
Gives it back.
That is so amazing. Look at that.
He's like, no. She's like, that's so cute.
That is amazing. Look at that smile. Both of them. Tremendous.
So, Ecclesia, isn't that the way to do it? I mean, even two young men already at a baseball game have figured out, like, the key to life is to outgive each other. And a kid that receives then gets to give. And one of the reasons that our logo is an open hand is because we believe we're a people made to both give and to receive. If you came to Ecclesia just to give, and I'm grateful that you give, and you don't receive, you're missing out on what God has for you. And if you came to Ecclesia just to receive, I got to tell you, you're missing out, because we're a people made to do both. One of my favorite interactions this week was with our brother Manuel. Manuel's been on staff for many years. He's one of our most faithful pastors who leads in the Stoy community and outreach. And what you ought to know about Manuel is that before Manuel was on staff at Ecclesia, he was living on the streets. And in his time on the streets, he told me one of the most meaningful things he got to do was to come to Ecclesia and to be able to give from what he had, to take what he had in his pocket and put it in the offering, because being a part of that mission truly mattered. Today in the book of Acts, I'm going to tell you a story of a guy named Barnabas. Barnabas got his name from being generous. His name means son of encouragement. But he got that name because he sold a piece of land and he brought it to bring it to the church so they could care for the poor. That's the kind of thing we want to be a part of. And that's the kind of thing we do all around this space. Today, we get to have meetings. Our friends from Moving Waters that offer showers, we get to come into Paperco. And I'm going to bring you over here. Paperco, by the way, has been beautifully renovated in recent months. This new skylight and all the light that comes in is to invite more of the community here so that we can do more together. And what we've learned through the years, I learned it when I was young at my dad's church. Our church didn't do a lot to care for the poor, but when we did, it felt really meaningful. In fact, one of the things I remember from my childhood was that my dad had set up in his office a place that he would meet with people when they came in to ask for money. Maybe they needed grocery money or to pay their utilities. And if they were outside our community and we didn't know them, my dad had a pile of dirt outside. And that pile of dirt, it sat there until someone came in. And when someone came in, my dad would say, I would love to help you. Would you help me move that pile of dirt? And if they wanted to help and they wanted to work, my dad did whatever he could to help them. And what I learned through the years is that pile of dirt just kept moving back and forth between two locations. But it told us a lot about whether people wanted to work. I'm proud that we get to do much of the same here at Ecclesia. We get to help people. We get to help people who also want to help themselves and be a part of community. And that's the story you're going to hear in the story of our dear brother, Jerry. You may already know Jerry and love him. He's been through a lot and he brings a lot of joy. His smile lights up a room. And Jerry says it best in his own words.
My name's Jerry. I got involved with Ecclesia like 2 years, probably about over a year, year and a half ago. Became on the parking team, but I do more than just the parking team, help Asher in the kitchen, cook and stuff, and whatever else needs to be done.
He was putting his hand to just about everything that we invited him into. So being a part of the parking team, he knows that's important and he wants to be a part of that. Even cleaning up after Simple Feast or being there with the barbecue or coming in and helping clean up the barbecue trailer. Those are all things that happen behind the scenes that need to be done, and he wants to be a part of that. And I think he wants to be a part of that because he knows that he is valued as a person. we offer support in a holistic way. We're looking at how we can, first of all, bring people closer into community, but it'll start something as easy as tending to their physical health and then making sure that they have a roof over their head so they can take care of those things, get a good night's rest, have a place to shower, send them up at Harmony House. Also their spiritual health, and then guiding them maybe, hopefully, to some sort of self-sustainable, independent living while still being a part of the community.
I like Ecclesi. I love this church. I met some good church members here. They're always friendly, say hi, how you doing, and checking up on me. Me and Manny has become good friends, and Asher, and I got a pretty good support group here.
So Ecclesia, Jerry's story, right? To be a part of a church that does that, and many of you are wondering, like, why would you say Ecclesia is your dream church? Well, let me tell you a little bit more. We're at our Lindale campus now. And I gotta tell you, Ecclesia, it's our diversity that makes us beautiful. Many of you that know me know if you scratched me deep, I think there's Latino blood in there, in part because I grew up in Houston, and my neighbor David, his family welcomed me in when I was young. I felt like I was a part of his family. I was eating menudo and learning a little bit of Spanish and living in a very communal life. And so I love this community in Lindale Heights. In fact, behind me, we have a Head Start program, and 120 kids get to come into this program, and their parents get to go work, and they get education and people that care for them. That's happening every day because you exist as a church, because you, hopefully, because this is where the rubber meets the road for us. Since COVID, we're running into our deficits and burning through them every year. We haven't been keeping up. Our mission's expanded. Our giving hasn't always expanded, but we believe in the mission, so we do it. And we built out this building, and it's beautiful. And 120 kids get to come, be loved on and cared for, and it's beautiful. And if I'll show you around the rest of the building. I won't show you all of it, because there's a lot to it. But in this area, you're gonna find that every day of the week, there are classes, there are people meeting, there are beautiful things happening. Today, there are a group of women that are getting English classes. And they can start first with English classes. In fact, they're just wrapping up now. There's another class that's gonna start in about 20 minutes. And the kids are about to get snacks. This is what a church ought to look like. People gathered together, being and learning to be who they're made to be, whether you're a kid or whether you're an adult. Most of these ladies are going to get an opportunity once they finish the English classes to do computer classes. And what that means is not just general computing. It means Microsoft certifications that help you get a job. Now that's a great thing, Ecclesia. Let me show you the room that we and others are able to worship in. So Ecclesia, this is the room that we can worship in. We have big meetings in. We had a beautiful Easter service here. I told you before, these folks were better dancers than any other Ecclesians I'd been around. Why does all this happen? Where does it come from? Well, I told you in the beginning of the sermon. My dad told me to read the book of Acts, and there's a lot in there. Erica reminded you last week that people that believe in the resurrection don't do charity. They actually believe the resurrection matters to everyone. So in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, it tells us a story of how the early church was behaving, how they lived with each other. And it tells us that during those days, the entire community of believers was deeply united in heart and soul to such an extent that they stopped claiming private ownership of their possessions. Instead, they held everything in common. The apostles, with great power, gave their eyewitness reports of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Everyone was surrounded by an extraordinary grace. Not a single person, hear this, Ecclesia, in the community was in need, because those who had been affluent sold their houses or lands, and they brought the proceeds to the emissaries of the Lord. Then they distributed the funds to individuals according to their needs. Then it tells the story of one fellow Cyprian named Joseph, who earned a nickname. His nickname, I told you, was Barnabas. Ecclesia, what does it look like to be a part of a community where people, it's essentially, this is what we're teaching our kids from the time they're young, from the time they're babies. If you've got multiple kids, you remember doing this, right? Because the words that are born in our hearts when we're young, we still feel when we're older, right? A little bit like the lady at the baseball game, right? Mine, right? It's like the worst word in the human language. And something happened when the Holy Spirit showed up. And people weren't forced to. They didn't have to, but they wanted to. They wanted to share what they had. And when they shared it, right? And it begins in simple places, right? Sharing your Dr. Pepper at work, right? Stop writing your name on it. Just bring Dr. Pepper for everybody. They just started to say, we're gonna take what we have in common and we're gonna share it. That's what we get to do at Ecclesia. In the early days of the church, we had an Excel spreadsheet and people could list anything they had, right? And by the way, if you've got a truck, you need to know. And you're a Christian, that's not your truck. I mean, it's yours. You ought to pay the title and insurance on it. But guess what? If you got a truck, you get to move people. If you have a truck, you've figured this out, right? If you've got a gift of hospitality, that gift's for the community. If you've been given resources, they're yours, just like we teach our kids, not mine. What I tell my kids over and over and over again when they were young, this is yours. Yes, it was a birthday gift to you, but it's yours to share. What happens when we live like the church in Acts, and we got a taste of it at Ecclesia over 25 years, there's a reason you're my dream church. I also know over the next 25 years, we have opportunities to grow, for more of us to get involved. When Barnabas went and sold his land, and by the way, I don't think he sold land of the primary house he was living in and then all of a sudden he was homeless. Nobody's asking you to do that. Nobody asked Barnabas to do that. I think Barnabas knew, I have extra wealth, and there are other people that don't have basics and food. I should sell that and share it. And what we have, Ecclesia, is extra in abundance. The reason the open hand is the open hand is because when we hold too much in it, it's actually bad for us. One of the stories that I love in our community, the stories of the things that are happening here on this campus. I told you and showed you the English classes and the Microsoft classes. I want to introduce you to Maria and let you hear from her in her own words how her life was changed because we exist as a community, because we share what we've been given as a community.
Mi nombre es Maria Manzanares. Tengo 47 años. Soy de Honduras. Tengo una hija de 19 años. Somos solo ella y yo aquí. Mi salud se deterioró, en un 200% se deterioró. Mi autoestima, todo, ¿verdad? Porque no trabajaba, no conocía a nadie. Entonces, por medio de ella yo llegué a la iglesia, ¿verdad? Llegué a esta localidad. Ella nos invitó para la posada. Me han ayudado mucho aquí porque también estoy con las clases de computación, estoy en las clases de finanzas. El jueves me incorporo al grupo de mujeres. Mi hija está ya anotada para el grupo de jóvenes. Y eso, todo eso, yo me analizo y yo digo, me siento súper bien. Gracias a Dios, yo siempre le doy gracias a Dios de que no me fui por otro camino, ¿verdad? Porque a veces es lo más fácil. Pero no, ya en mi corazón, en mi educación, en lo que mis padres me han inculcado, pues aquí estoy y estoy para servir. Y yo sé que voy a tener la oportunidad de poder servir mucho más, ¿verdad? Este es el comienzo, la verdad, y yo quiero ser yo.
Ecclesia, don't you love Maria? She is a gift. To be able to walk with sisters like that, that not only want to grow, but they want to grow and give back. That's the open hand. I'm here now on our Westside campus. Now, can you believe that we have three campuses that are this beautiful? And by the way, if you know much about the values of Ecclesia, you know that generosity is a part of it, and that part of that generosity is hospitality. It's reflected in our rhythms. This is what we do. And it's only fitting that we had an Ecclesian donate the coolest pizza oven ever. People think it's a spaceship. No, it's made to make amazing wood-burned pizzas. They're beautiful. And Asher is, he's got the kiss of God on his hands as he makes great food for the Nestoy community and for all of us when we gather for events. Maria inspires us, and this campus inspires us. This is a place that we gather to worship with a totally different kind of community than the Lindale or the downtown community. One of the reasons you're my dream church, Ecclesia, is that we're a diverse community. And what happens at all three of these campuses? Totally different. We don't need a Head Start program here in Piney Point. In Piney Point, people need to be invited to open their hand, to give and to share generously. And you know what? People do. It was out of this campus that we funded one of the many wells that we fund across the globe. This story is one of my favorites. This last year, we funded a well in Liberia. Now, if you've been around Ecclesia, you know that my journey to understand the water crisis started in Liberia. The crisis there is extreme. And there is the difference between those that have access to clean water and those that do not. And one of the wells that we funded was a well that I was particularly excited about because in Africa, it's not a lot different than the United States. Churches often divide around theological lines or tribes or denominations. And our brothers and sisters that lead Living Water in Africa have a bit more of an evangelical bent, and sometimes they struggle maybe to build bridges with Catholic and Orthodox brothers and sisters, but it's part of our ethic. It's part of what we're made to do, and Living Water is constantly inviting that and pushing forward. And there's an Orthodox church in Liberia that desperately needed clean water in the community. And Ecclesia, you rallied. We funded a well there that really radically changed the community. Now, what I love about this well is not only that it was effective, it's the fact that the Orthodox priest that works and serves that community was so excited about what happened. And he has a son, and his son is old enough to be off and a professional, and he works for a group with USAID and a group of other nonprofits and with the Liberian government. And you know what happened when we funded that well? People found out Living Water drills great wells and they do hygiene training and it changed the community. And the son of the Orthodox priest started telling people, this group Living Water, they're doing amazing work. And USAID started funding water wells through Living Water all across Liberia. You funded one well and it multiplied. And that's part of what generosity does. When one person is generous, it expands. Now, this is what I want you to know, Ecclesia. Often in the church I grew up in, or maybe in your experience, giving was motivated by fear or manipulation or the sense that you had to. In Acts, it's different. It's because you want to. Now, part of what happened with Barnabas, he became a legend, right? He was so radically generous. He sold a piece of land, he brought it to the church, and he simply said, take care of the poor. And they did, just like we do as a church. The challenge was there were other people that thought, I'm a little jealous of Barnabas. It's a confusing story, and it was used when I heard it. It scared me, honestly. And apparently it scared the people that saw it happen. We don't know exactly the circumstances, but a couple named Ananias and Sapphira wanted to be like Barnabas. They went and sold a piece of land, and they decided that they would lie about it and say that they were giving all of it just like Barnabas had. Now, a strange thing happens, and I don't fully understand it. I don't know if they had high blood pressure and they had guilt from lying. I don't know what happened. I don't think God strikes people dead in that way because most of us would be dead if you've lied, if you've misrepresented. But God was making a point or something was happening to make it clear to us that what you don't ever want to do is pretend to be more generous than you are. So, Ecclesia, I want to remind you, we don't ever want to pretend to be more generous than we actually are. Something will happen, like the lady at the ballpark. We'll find out. Somebody will take your Dr. Pepper and it'll either make you mad or it won't. But when we are open-handed and we really say, God's given me this and I'd like to share my extra. And that's what we do at Ecclesia. We pull together our extra, our resources. And I believe as we go forward in the next 25 years, if all of us were generous, if we had a little bit of Barnabas in us, wouldn't it be great if your nickname was about how generous you are? I think as we move forward, our church is going to be able to say what the church in Acts said. There was no one among us that had a need that couldn't be met. We're part of a church where, I'll tell you, years ago, we had a sister. It was far outside our categories. But our beloved sister, Jenna, she's a great volunteer. She's been a part of the community for a long time. And she was diagnosed with cancer. She's a veteran. It was unexpected. She was also pregnant. And part of what that meant was that doctors said, to proceed with treatment, you may need to terminate that pregnancy. And she didn't want to do it. And I got to tell you, Ecclesia, the cancer grew in that period, and it was a challenging time, and she couldn't work. And you know what you did, Ecclesia? You didn't know that you did it, but you put her up in an amazing high-rise downtown, right next to St. Joseph, where she was getting cancer treatment. And we took care of her and her expenses. Why? Because we're people of faith. Because many of you go and you bring what you have that's extra. We may need to sell a piece of land. We may need to sell a car. We may need to just designate a part of what we have. And so, Ecclesia, as we look forward to the next 25 years, I hope to be around for a lot of that. I want to invite you to join a small initiative. We're calling Giving Beyond Us. It's part of our series in Acts to say, how can we look more like the church? Well, we could look more like the original church if all of us joined in and participated. And we believe that there are opportunities going forward for each of us to give and to share in that responsibility. It's a burden, but I got to tell you, more than a burden, it's a blessing. The money that I get to share with Ecclesia, and I know that we get to do things like the stories you've heard today and Easter and so many others, that's a joy for me. And I believe it's a joy for you. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to ask you to talk about it, to pray about it. We've got a card in your seat that explains more about the opportunity. What we would like to do as a church is be able to plan. What is it that we're going to share together so that we know how to care for all the needs in our community, in our city, and across the globe? Ecclesia, it's a great privilege to be a part of this story. I don't want anybody to ever feel burdened to do more than or pretend to do more than. Let's just do what we can do and let's find joy in it. And when Jerry gets set up in a house and when our sister Maria gets Microsoft certification and can get a job and she gets to help more people and we know Jerry's helping more people. When our sister Jenna gets cancer treatment and she's restored to health and she serves faithfully every week at church. Why? Because we're a community and we take care of each other. And one of the ways that's possible is by all of us sharing. I'm grateful my dad pointed me to the book of Acts and said, what if the church took care of the needy? What if we saw a need and we met it? We can only do it when we share. Our brother Ramon's gonna come and close us out and lead us towards communion. Ramon helps guide all the things that we do with our staff. He leads all of the ministries that we have, and he has a big heart for the things that we do internationally. And I gotta tell you, Ramon and I are of the camp that we go, we do this job no matter what we were offered. You could invite us to do anything else. We just can't imagine doing something more meaningful than what we get to do together. So will you welcome my dear brother Ramon, and will you ask God to speak to you as we consider the ways that we can be better together, as each of us ask the question, what does it look like to give beyond us?
Good morning, Ecclesia. We hope you having a great morning. You had a treat listening to some of those stories. On a bi-weekly basis as a staff, and I get to be a part of the staff here for the last 6 years, we get to take time and celebrate the sacredness of the stories of what God is doing in the midst of us. So we put on the screen, big up there we go. We're now talking about sacred stories, and we spend 15 to 20 minutes talking about what God is doing in the midst of us, amongst us, and through the life of the people of Ecclesia. And when we share those stories, we want to base them off of some values. I'm just giving you an inside peek into what happens here when you're not here on Sunday. And we go over these six values that they're very important to us, and we want the staff to embody those values. And over the last season, it's been value number two, the one that we've been kind of like trying to be super intentional on, which is like, how can we be better guides? How can we be better shepherds stewarding the people and the resources that God has entrusted this faith community? So when you come here and you see cards, when you've come here over the last season and hear invitations to serve in the children's spaces, when you come here and hear invitations about being hospitable with our unhoused brothers and sisters, when you come here and hear invitations to join a group, they all stem from us celebrating the goodness of God and all the sacredness that happens when people engage in those stories. And we seek to be the best possible guides and just to lower the bar, because we've had bad experiences in the past when we serve or when we've been in church world, or you're new to a community of faith and you don't even know where to get started, because this thing about going to a house and being with 10 strangers and sharing a meal, that's just hard for some of us. Introverts in the room, I see you. So as we soak in the sacredness of what God is doing in the midst of our community and through the lives of the people who are here, we seek to lower the bar and be better guides and just provide opportunities in which you can join in, take a step of faith, and join into what God is inviting you to do in the upcoming season of your life and what God is inviting us to do within us in this faith community. So what is the invitation today? Yes, you came to church today. They're talking about money. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you had bad experiences in the past. And it's always a tension when you're in church world and you're trying to be a great guide for people. It is just cooler to invite people to just host a meal. And this one gets tricky because it's church has gotten a bad rap in the past, unfortunately. And I'm sorry if that's been your case. Unfortunately, we do not get, and I mean we as the body of Christ, we don't get enough credit for the great things that we get to do together. So we believe that God has entrusted us many resources and many, many great people who are sitting here who participate continually and faithfully in the Ecclesia community. So, because we seek to see celebrating many more sacred stories, and we keep being committed to being good guides, it's why you have a card on your seat or now on your hand. And what does that card say? And here's us trying to be as intentional. So here's the invitation for us to consider. Would you pray? Whether you kneel in the morning or at night, whether you walk and talk with Jesus, whatever your prayer life looks like, would you consider, God, how might you be inviting me into this upcoming season personally and within the Ecclesia community to join in this effort to live beyond us, to give beyond us, for the city of Houston, and for the global impact that we've been having and we seek to have. Number two, would you look very practically at what your finances look like? We're in different seasons of life. There might be some single people in the room, maybe some college students, there may be some retired people, there may be people who just got a promotion. We don't know where you're at, but you know, God knows. So will you prayerfully consider? Would you take a look at your budget? And then would you consider going into step three, which is give regularly? How can you do that? There's a QR code on your card. There's a website that says ecclesiahouston.org/give. We're not asking you to jump on it right now. We're going to talk over it in the next few weeks. Not saying that so you miss church. This is not going to be the center point over the next few weeks. But we do feel a responsibility to the work that God is inviting us to do, to the sacredness of the stories that we've gotten to witness, and the hope that we carry to celebrate many, many more of those stories in the future to come. So it is our prayer, as we go back to reading that text in the book of Acts, that Ecclesia, we may be this people, that in the days ahead, this was the apostles, but I'm making it our prayer today, during these days, that our entire community of believers, that the people of Ecclesia, that will be deeply united in heart and soul to the extent that people stop claiming private ownership of the possessions. Instead, that they hold everything in common. That as the apostles with great power, we, Ecclesia, will be great eyewitness, that we would report from the resurrection of Jesus, that everyone around us would extend extraordinary grace, and that not a single person in the community would be in need. Would you join me in prayer as we go into communion? God of heaven and earth, we are grateful because you've invited us to journey with you, because you invite us to the table because you invite us to share. Because that means we have something that you've entrusted us. Our time, our talent, and resources, our life. We are grateful for the gifts that you've entrusted this community. So today, as you invite us to consider what you might be inviting us in the upcoming season, we ask for your wisdom, for your grace, for your patience with us, that we may respond in the ways that you are expecting of each of us and of us as a community of faith. We pray all those things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like more information, please visit our website at www.ecclesiahouston.org.